Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, let's get it.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
There it is, fellas.
Yes, sir.
Talking sports. Don't adjust your radio, America. Talking Sports is officially on the air on this Monday, February 22nd, and we are officially ready to get this party started. I am, as always, your host, Andre Peterson, the point guard, dishing out dimes. What? I'm throwing dimes. Of course, to my fellas. First, kicking off with, thank you. Somebody's awake, you know, at least a little bit. You know, JQ, how are you feeling this evening, sir? You doing all right, sir?
I'm good, man. I'm dropping dimes on my pillow, dropping dimes on my teddy bear, man. Dang, look at that. Boy, that was hilarious.
that was pretty hilarious. JQ is ready to roll, feeling good. Let's check in with the other co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. How are you feeling this evening, sir?
Man, doing great. No complaints here. Just trying to wake up. Well, we going to be good to go.
Wake up, Rob.
gotta get that Red Bull.
Well, them things speed up your heart rate, man. You can't fool with that.
A little bit. Yeah, we got to be a little calm, but that's all good. Let's kind of fill out the numbers like we always like to do. If you want to reach out to us, call into the show, that number is always 424-243-9519. That's our number. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, if you go to the number 12THMAN Sports, that is, you'll follow us in that vantage point. And then finally, we are also on Facebook. You go to facebook.com/12thManSports, or if you actually type in Talking Sports with 12th Man, you will find us at in that arena as well. Gentlemen, let's kick this party off. And as always, it feels like we always let Rob do the show topics. his guy, the Brow, goes off for 59 points and 20 rebounds. I guess Rob will let you kind of have this moment. Anything we'll talk about as far as that, Rob?
Hey, man, don't hate, man. Come on. I very rarely put any Pelicans, Saints, LSU topics in that. You know, come on, man.
Cause you can't.
That's a lie. Go ahead.
Very rarely. But hey, the Brow went off yesterday. This is the first time, I think it's only the third time since 1983 that a player went off for 50 points and 20 rebounds. I think Chris Webber and Shaquille O'Neal were the only other two guys to do it since 1983. So what an incredible performance yesterday. I was watching the game. He was just hitting it from all over, three-point range, inside the paint. And so this was just an incredible performance by a great player. So hopefully we can build a team around him here pretty soon, but just a phenomenal performance on yesterday by Anthony Davis.
Damian Lillard did something too as well, man. He went off for 50 points too, man, or 51 points.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to, you know, I just want to throw that out there.
No 20 rebounds, though. No 20 rebounds.
Yeah,
50
yeah,
and 20 amazing. Rebounds.
Go ahead, Jake.
Yeah,
can you talk on that, sir?
Yeah, that was phenomenal. And, I mean, he's been teasing us, you know, since he's gotten the league, that, you know, with this kind of output. So I'm not really shocked at it. I just, you know, want to see him now that I feel like it's really slowed down for him to actually be healthy for 82 games. Because unless, you know, he gets traded and Coach Pop, you know, becomes his coach and starts wrestling in back-to-back games, if he can stay healthy and play a full 82-game season, I would just love to see his stat line for that season because, wow, the ability to, you know, go down low, the ability to step out to the three-point line, to block shots, to rebound. It's also a good passer for a big man due to his point guard skills growing up. He's just phenomenal. And you know that he's, you know, got the attention. If you watched any of the All-Star game, when Chris Paul threw him the alley-oop and it was behind him and he went way back to get it and still slammed it home, and the whole West bench just erupted. I mean, when you get NBA stars to erupt like that, then you know you're doing something. So you know, I'm not overly surprised. I'm happy for him.
Yeah, he had 24 points in an All-Star game too.
Yeah.
He's all right. Doing his thing, bro. Yeah. I always see what Rob was going to say there. I got to tell you guys, on a secondary, I'm not hating, I'm just messing with you. On a secondary note, man, I tell you a guy that's actually looking like he's going to be something to be reckoned with is actually Karl Anthony Towns, man. That guy is playing extremely well, too, man. So you talk about a guy that's another up-and-coming guy, too, man. Just, you know, I hope that's not hurting you too much, JQ, there. But, yeah, he is actually looking like he's going to be the real deal as well. I'll let you guys comment on that in a quick second, too. But, so, obviously, you had a big game tonight, Warriors-Hawks. The Warriors are continuing on that streak. And I guess if you're looking at kind of, as we start kind of seeing everything starting to come into play, and I guess I'll kick this off to you, JQ, do you think that the Spurs can overtake the Warriors, or was that Anderson-Varejao move kind of a strategic play, or how do you think that kind of move in the West kind of figures out for the future?
Well, I think that's just insurance because Hasebis, I believe is how you say his name, is still trying to come back from injury, and, you know, Bogut is always liable to get hurt. So I think he's just there for depth and a little energy. I don't think that really changes the equation for them at all. I mean, they just have a phenomenal team, period. And I don't think they will overtake the Warriors, for one. I think the Warriors really, really want that record. I think that may be a little bit of an anomaly. You know, the Rose Garden is a tough place to play, and Damian Lillard dropping 51. But if you watch, a lot of those teams coming out of that extended All-Star break looked really rusty in that first game back. And the Blazers needed that much more than the Warriors did. And also, with Ginobili being hurt and Duncan trying to come back, and the way that Pop manages their minutes also with Kawhi also this is his last two games, I think he's going to do what he always does and rest them in back-to-back to make sure they're fresh for the playoffs. And that may cost them a game or two down the stretch, and that could be all to really be the difference. I think they're going to be the second seed strong, and I think they feel like they can go on the road and beat the Warriors when it comes down to it because they have the experience. I just don't think they want to follow that second seed. But given the way the Pop manages his roster, I don't think they'll overtake the Warriors.
Rob, what do you think about JQ? Are the old men going to make a little comeback here, or what's going to happen with that?
Well, I don't see him overtaking the Warriors in the regular season or the postseason, for that matter. I just don't think they can keep up with the Warriors. I think what JQ said is right on. And I think, as he mentioned, they're definitely a lock for the number two seed. I don't see nobody overtaking them for that spot. But I can't see them overtaking the Warriors. And if you look at the Warriors, they get up to play the big teams. Yeah, I mean, they have five losses on the season. And none of those five losses are against the Cavs, Spurs, or the Thunder. They're undefeated against those three teams. They've had poor outings against the Bucks, Pistons, Trailblazers, as you saw the other night. And so you one of those teams will have to be the teams that, you know, can catch them. But they just get up to play against teams like the Spurs, the Cavs, and the Thunder, as we've come to find out. So I just don't see the Spurs being able to catch him or being able to run with them head-to-head either.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we always like to get your opinions about that too, so we're just going to keep it moving. I guess, Rob, let's kind of throw out some fantasy shout-outs here as we keep moving, and we're going to sort of kind of kick it to some NFL stuff, which we always like to talk about since we never, ever quit talking NFL. So, Rob, you want to get your fantasy shout-outs, and we'll talk NFL?
Oh, yeah, let's see. This past week, we just ended a week here on yesterday. And let me get to my notes here. So yours truly, of course, had the best week with an 8-0 victory. And, of course, still holding down the first place spot in fantasy basketball. Obviously, there's still a lot of basketball to be played, so there's no time to let up. And, of course, got to keep fighting, hopefully, and get to a championship here.
That's all you got?
Yeah, that's how I was going to draft first.
There's nothing else to say.
I'm first. I'm better than all y'all. Why are you even here? You know, that's what it's all about.
Actually, my co-host, Andre, had an 8-0 win as well. So I'm going to give Andre a shout-out, too.
Come on, bro. Man, what are you doing, man?
I had to give him a delayed shout-out, America.
Come on, man.
He says you got to get above 500 first.
Okay, all right, you know.
That's a shot, Dre. That's a shot.
JQ, man, what's going on, man? Oh, man. Okay, all right. Okay,
bad,
I see how it's
my
going.
My co-host Andre, triple-double, also had an 8-0 victory over his champions here.
So shout out to him as well. I'm trying to make little small steps, and I'm trying to like focus.
Man.
I was excited, man.
Shots have been fired.
But I was like, Robinson finally gave me a shout out. I won 8-0, and I've been doing good the past 2 weeks, and it was kind of like delay. And then freaking JQ comes out of here and tries to like, you know, kind of get me too, man. I'm just saying, man. Okay.
That's that WWE heel turn.
All right. Okay. One day, fellas. One day. That's all I got to say.
Shots of fire. I'm talking sports with a 12 man.
I can't see what happens. I'm saving this for OSU. Whatever Ohio State, JQ, I got something for you, bro. I'm just going to say that.
I know you do.
All right. So we're going to get off to some NFL as I try to gain my composure here. Just like that last comment, the Jets release after subpar season, the Jets release Antonio Kamari. So let's kind of talk about this. Is this a good move, bad move? Why was Kamari? I know he got like 8 kids. I mean, why was he released? Rob, what do you think? What do you think about this, sir?
Well, it's a combination of two things. Obviously, the NFL is a "what have you done for me lately" league, and also, of course, salary here as well. If you don't perform up to your salary in the National Football League these days, you will get released. And obviously, these contracts are set up like that in the National Football League. And I think he could possibly still help a team, quite a few teams for that matter. Obviously, at a reduced salary than what he had with the Jets this past season. And so that's what it boils down to in the National Football League. You don't perform up to your contract, you can forget about it.
Forget about it, just like that. That was good. What about you? What about your thoughts? I was trying to say professional, JQ. What are your thoughts about Antonio Kamara here?
Yeah, the only thing that shocks me is that I don't think they really have a ready replacement on roster for him, so that tends to lead me to believe that one of those top corners, like a McKenzie or Apple, is still available because, of course, I think Ramsey goes much higher than the Jets will be picking, is available. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to have to grab one. But also I'm concerned, not necessarily concerned, I was just more startled with the fact that he did accept a reduced contract, given exactly what Rob said. He just has not played up to that contract this past year, really for like the past year and a half, if you want to be honest. Especially when you got Revis on the other side, you're going to get picked on, which also is going to expose any worst you have. So if you have any slippage in your game and you got Revis on the other side, you're going to get a lot of attention. I was just more shocked that, and I didn't hear him, you know, balk at restructuring his contract to stay with the Jets at a reduced salary. But I totally agree with Rob. As a second or third cornerback, I think this may be the thing to put the chip back on the shoulder, and he's going to get another chance, but not the money he was making.
Yeah, you know the run on the head, too. Go ahead, Rob. You about to say something?
No. I was just listening to JQ wrap it up there.
Yeah, I was going to say, too, you know, I don't know what guys would say, yes, I'll take less money, unless you're in a situation where you're, like, getting, like, a lot of endorsement deals or something like that. But you kind of saw that writing on the wall.
Somebody's better than
whenever.
Nobody.
Yeah.
Right. But I'm with you, but still, he may have, you know how we are, or well, not we are, but you know, athletes here, they might think, well, I'm better than this, or, you know, maybe I can get more on the open market. So, we'll see how it plays out, and he still has the opportunity to still figure out if the team's going to pay him more, because like Rob said, somebody will pay him a little extra. Or maybe what he's trying to get here, but we'll see. All right.
And this is in a very, you know, corner obviously in an important position in the league, but definitely very important for Todd Bowles' defense, who's a blitz happy defensive coach, and
Cleveland
so he
Island,
likes to leave those corners out on the island. So he's going to be searching through free agency. He's going to be searching through the draft, trying to find corners. You best believe that. Right now, if you look at their defense, corner and inside linebacker are pretty much the two things that they really need on their defense. They're pretty strong everywhere else on their defense. So You can right now. I haven't taken Reggie Ragland at 20 in the draft, so we'll see what happens here. Obviously, we still got free agency and a lot of things that could take place prior to the draft.
Good call. Speaking of the draft, let's talk about Connor Cook. Can he get back into the first round? Is the question. Rob, you kind of stole that. I was going to let you kind of transition into that. But, yeah, is it a situation? Can he get back in the first round, sir?
Well, here's the deal. He's a quarterback, so I'm going to say right now I have him going in the second round. But as you've seen in several drafts previously, you'll see a team in that second round trying to move up into the latter part of the first round. A quarterback needy team could possibly come in and move into the latter part of the first round and draft him just because they desperately need a quarterback. So that wouldn't shock me if that was to happen. Obviously, the physical tools for Connor Cook is there. There's some off-the-field concerns with Connor Cook. There are some issues on whether or not he can be a leader in the National Football League. So he's definitely going to have to wow some teams in the interview process to remove that doubt. But definitely the ability is there, and it wouldn't shock me at all for a team to trade up into the latter part of the first round and possibly take him. Right now I have him as the fourth best quarterback in the draft behind, of course, Carson Wentz, behind Jared Goff, and behind Paxton Lynch.
JQ, what does Connor Cook got to do to get in the first round?
Well, I totally agree with everything that Rob just said, and that's what I was going to say. And I'll even throw one further, that I think that Christian Hackenberg may be able to see back in the first round for everything that Rob just said, especially if somebody jumps up and chases Connor Cook, and he's seen as the fifth best quarterback left, but the only one left on the board. So I can see that happening, because teams always panic for quarterback, and we got so many quarterback needy teams in the league this year that I can see both of those happening. But for Connor Cook, and again, agreeing with Rob, he hit it on the head. How you, as the quarterback of Michigan State, that's been perennially in the conversation for, you know, your past 2 years there or 3 years there, have never been voted the captain of the team. I mean, that's almost unheard of for a quarterback of his stature, for the program that he's playing for, never to be voted the captain of the team. That speaks a lot to his character, and it's like Rob said, his inability to lead. He's going to have to answer that question multiple times, and I think that's really the thing that gets him back in the first round. If he can get somebody to believe what he's saying, say whatever the problem he was, he put behind him where he's matured, and get them to believe it, a la, you know, not the same level of a Manziel last year. But, you know, he's going to have to convince a couple of teams to kind of bid against them, against each other, to get back in the first round, because I have no answer for that. You know, I haven't heard particulars about why what he's been doing at Michigan State, but it's got to be something for him to never have been the captain. That to me is just shocking.
You know, he didn't want to, you know, just impose his will upon the team. He wanted everyone else to kind of like sit back and just kind of do it. No, that's a good call too, gentlemen. And that's the thing too. I think it's you guys have made some great points as far as, you know, leadership qualities and whatnot. You know, if you got the physicality, you got the tools, and you're not the leader, that does kind of have a red flag status as well, as you said, Rob, too. But, you know, like I said, there's still time right now. We named about seven teams that needed a quarterback, so there's clearly
absolutely
a need. You know, maybe it's just kind of like figuring out, okay, how does this play out? Maybe we're going to wait till, you know, this other thing, too. So, you know, it could be something that can sneak in, like you said, you know, JQ, towards the end of the first round. Maybe somebody will make a move, and we'll see. So he may possibly sneak back in there, but I agree with you, Rob. You know, he's got a lot of things to prove and a lot of question marks about that. All right, gentlemen. We got,
you know, I'm curious to see what's going to happen with a few quarterbacks that's already in the league. Sam Bradford, Kirk Cousins, RG3, Brock Osweiler, Colin Kaepernick. And so I'm interested to see what kind of movement we're going to have in the National Football League with some current NFL quarterbacks, too. That's going to be very intriguing as well this offseason.
Yeah, good calls. All right, let's kind of kick it off. So now we're about 10 minutes, so we can kind of spend the rest of the time talking about, you know, the NFL mock draft here in advance of this. And so I'll kick it off with you, Rob. So what are you thinking as far as your mock that you have currently right now as we get ready to prepare for the NFL Combine?
Yeah, I think last week went over 1 through 5. I'll just give some quick notes on the 6 through 10 here real quick and anything you guys might want to add. Baltimore at number 6, I haven't taken the DeForest Buckner, he's a slash guy, defensive end slash defensive tackle, depending on what defense you're going to run. He's got long arms. He's in a two-tall Jones mode. He's about 6'6", 283 pounds. Very good pass rusher as well. Jared Goff, quarterback from Cal, have him going number 7 to San Francisco. With Kaepernick, looked like he wanted out. Looks like Chip Kelly is going to go with a new quarterback, whether it be with Blaine Gabbert or with getting somebody in the draft. I don't see how you can be sold on Gabbert. Number 8, I have Laquon Treadwell, the best wide receiver in the draft, who just announced today, by the way, he's not going to run a 40-yard dash at the combine. And I think the reason for that is... Yeah. He doesn't have great speed. He's got great hands. He's got good size. I still think he's the best receiver in the draft, and obviously he doesn't want to have anything that's going to knock him down. But I think most scouts in the NFL already know he's not going to be a burner. You know, he's going to beat you with his size and his hands, and it's pretty obvious why he's not running in the combine. Number 9, Ronnie Stanley, the Tampa Bay offensive tackle from Notre Dame. Obviously, you have to continue to protect the franchise and Jameis Winston there, and he can protect them for about the next 12 years at that left tackle position. Number 10, Vernon Hargreaves, who I believe is one of the best athletes in this draft, cornerback from Florida. The Giants desperately need help in the secondary on the back end. They had one of the worst defensives totally, as well as one of the worst secondaries in the NFL this past season. They were getting torched pretty much every week. And so that's just a little bit to go over 6 through 10 in the draft. I don't know if you guys have any comments about that.
Go ahead, JQ.
The only one I would quibble with is Treadwell to the Dolphins, only because they used their last year's first-round pick also on a wide receiver. His name is just escaping me right now. So I don't know if they'll go back-to-back first-round wide receivers.
Yes, wide receiver from Louisville last year. I can't think of his name either.
Yeah. So I that's the only thing. I don't know if they'll invest in back-to-back with that when they already have, you know, a decent, you know, if they re-sign Rashard Matthews and they also have, Jesus, I keep forgetting his name, got LSU, who's a really good receiver for him.
Jarvis Landry.
There you go, Landry with Tannehill. And then you also got Jordan Cameron at tight end. I don't know if they'll invest in that. I could see them going offensive line because Tannehill gets sacked a lot. So I could see them taking Stanley from Notre Dame and swiping him. But the other ones I don't necessarily quibble with. I wonder if the Giants, though, take a chance on Noah Spence. In that locker room, they got pretty strong leadership, and, you know, Jason Pierre-Paul with one hand is just not going to get it done anymore. And, yes, they got torched on the back end, but, you know, one way to make up for getting torched on the back end is to get pressure on the quarterback. And if Spence had to just stay off the ecstasy at Ohio State, I think he would be a lot to be in the top 10. Right now it's just a character issue with him, but he can flat out get off the ball. And if you watch him in the Senior Bowl, he was one of the best defensive ends there, just wreaking havoc in the backfield. So, you know, I could see it going a couple ways, but I think Rob, for the most part, has a pretty good handle on it.
And I have spent, since we brought him up, I am going 13 to Philadelphia right now, but he's definitely been moving up draft boards. He could easily sneak into the top 10 in this draft. And he still, you know, have some – teams are still going to interview him, see if they can still figure out his character issues and things of that nature. He's definitely a tremendous talent, might be the best pure pass rusher in this draft. So he can easily move up to the top 10 if teams feel comfortable with his character.
Mm-hmm.
But I have him at 13 right now to Philly.
Gotcha. So, Rob, you did say that you had Jared Goff going to San Francisco, correct? Is that what
at
you
number
were?
7,
you had,
yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. So if that actually goes down, you will have a very my father-in-law is a huge 49er fan, so he would be like jumping up and down.
Well, we're sorry to hear that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm saying
just
he's kind of scared. Well, mm-hmm. I know you're not. He's thinking that Cleveland's going to take him at number 2. So, but that's just kind of interesting how, you know, how you've got Carson Wentz going there. But like I said, you know, if that does go the way that it is, we'll see how that plays out. Laquon Treadwell kind of reminds me, I'm not saying he is, but kind of Anquan Boldin-ish, because Anquan didn't have a great 40 time, but he's able to, you know, be a very physical receiver and just kind of like dominate. So I'm not saying he is Anquan Boldin, but just because you don't have a fast 40 time doesn't mean you can't survive in the league for sure. So
Absolutely. Reminds me of Justin Blackman as well from Oklahoma State.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you talk about Justin Blackman not the reach of potential too. Go ahead, Rob. Yeah.
I would love to see the guys run with pads on in the combine for the 40 time.
Yeah,
yes.
We were talking about that. Run with pads, throw with pads, you know, show the true, you know, show your true side what's going to happen too. So I'm 100% agreement with that. All right, gentlemen, we got about 4 minutes here, about 4 minutes and 40 something seconds here. We're going to talk about, is the combine important, is it worthless? But really quickly, I know Robbie put this topic in here about the size of a quarterback's hands. And, you know, I know Randall Cunningham wants to talk about that and say that his hands are a good size. But, no, Rob, why is this important as far as in the NFL, sir?
Well, number one, historically, quarterbacks that have big hands typically handle the football a lot better in inclement weather, too. And that's something that the NFL definitely looks at and, you know, wonder why it's so important. You know, you look at Brett Favre, he had some of the biggest hands, and he was able to control that football quite a bit in Green Bay. You know, if you get sacked and, you know, the fumbles and things of that nature. And QBs with smaller hands, typically in inclement weather, have fumbling tendencies or the ball slips out of their hand a lot. So, and so just a small nugget, you know, for some of our listeners. And that's one of the reasons why you see general managers and coaches, they like to measure quarterback hand sizes at the combine.
JQ, what are your thoughts about this?
Yeah, absolutely agree. And that's part of the reason why Russell Wilson was able still to go in the third round, even though he's shorter, he has big hands. So they still, it really matters to the NFL scouts for everything that Rob just said, especially the inclement weather. But I would say that I think it may start to be on the decline in actual production because they, in the advent of these gloves that the wide receivers and the quarterbacks are using, and I swear it's got stick-em on them. I mean, you know, you see what OBJ does where, with that hand where he just drops, you know, pushes it back. Without the gloves, I don't know if that happens. It may or may not. But I think, that, you know, that's an old you know, hard rule for NFL GMs and scouts that they go by that hand size because of the inclement weather piece that Rob talked about. So as long as those people still believe that and they're in the position to make decisions in the NFL, then it's going to matter. But maybe, it, you know, like I said, with the advent of technology, the way it's going, maybe a little bit down the line with that and the analytics piece of it, it may not make as big a difference. But I don't think we're there yet. I think we're still probably at least a decade away from that being able to overtake this old tried and true principle of having big hands as an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, and if you interview 9 out of 10 general managers, they'll tell you that the quarterback hand size is more important than their height. And so that's a pretty big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see the size of Russell Wilson's hands. I'm just going to have to, like, you know, look that up, man. So, yeah, there you go.
I think they said in that draft he had, like, the second or third biggest hands, you know, for playing baseball as well. You know, they had already measured it for all that. So that was part of the reason why he was even able to go in the third round because he had big hands, even though he's only 5'10", 5'11".
America, we apologize for talking about QB's hands. I don't even know where this show is going. But,
that's why we're the best talking sports show on the planet. We cover the small nuggets and the big nuggets.
My goodness. There's no way to clean up from that one. We got about a minute. Can you go ahead, Rob, and set us up with the OT portion, and then we'll wrap up this live portion.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in. Obviously, this is the fastest 30 minutes in talking sports on the planet. It goes by so fast. We'll be back to you live on next week. We'll be on Tuesday night. That'll be 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. for our friends in California. You don't want to miss us on next Tuesday night. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion of the show. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of our show live. So click on the same link on tomorrow. We still have some NFL to cover. We still have some college basketball to cover as well. March Madness around the corner. So you don't want to miss this coverage. So you definitely click on this same link and get some more talking sports on tomorrow. Thank you all for tuning in again. Good night. Remember to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Good night, people.
Thank you.
Stay classy, San Diego. Go Chargers.
Sounds like JQ was on a personal campaign to make sure that the Chargers are going to stay where they are, man.
Yes. Stop messing with it.
You guys have vested interest. Good night, people. We appreciate you guys tuning in as always and giving us your feedback in Facebooks and giving us a comment too. So, all right, Let's talk about this as we get ready to wrap up the live portion and we go to the OT. And we talked about the size of quarterback's hands, and we're going to talk about the combine and is it worthless. And I guess kind of another thought that we were just ironically we were talking about, you know, running in pads, throwing in pads and stuff like that. And I guess we're going to talk about if that's going to be, I don't know if that's going to be in the future, but in spite of the way that the combine is currently set right now, JQ, do you think it's worthless or do you think there's an actual purpose of the NFL combine?
Oh, I think it absolutely has purpose. And it also, if, when they invite them, they give the kids from a smaller school a chance to shine where they wouldn't have gotten a chance before, maybe at the pro day. But even if you go to a small school, your pro day, you're not going to get all the NFL scouts and GMs there like you do in Indianapolis. So just on that aspect alone, I think it's pretty I think it's pretty valuable. But also, and we talked about last time, I think Indianapolis is a great city for it because it's smaller.
Yep.
And it allows the teams to get together and discuss, especially with the agents for the free agents, to get deals done. And I promise you, we don't have no idea the amount of activity and detail and deals that get done at the famous steakhouse, with the Elmo's, I believe it is, and just in and around St. Elmo's, in and around those there in the hotels. So I think it's very valuable, and I think that's part of the reason why you saw the NFL re-up with Indianapolis. And I don't think it's going to go anywhere. I don't think it should go anywhere. I think it's very valuable to rating and scouting the prospects, especially getting a look at the smaller school kids and getting deals done.
Yeah, much to Robert's dismay, it is going to stay in Indianapolis. My hometown, you know, I want to give a shout-out to Indy, you know, obviously. But just because I think there's nothing there and it's kind of a good segue into the transition of the next part of the season. But, you know, and I guess I'm going to throw the question to Rob. If you think the NFL Combine is worthless, you may have a little different answer. But go ahead, Rob. The floor is yours.
Well, slightly different, but I agree that it's not worthless. I think it definitely has some valuable segments that goes into general managers and coaches putting together their grades on players and things of that nature. So I definitely think – I think it's a part of the process, but I think majority of the process still goes through college film work. And so most of the processes, most of their grades still are grade players on their actual film and how they actually played in college. But I think about 10% of the grade possibly will come from the combine and things. But I think overall they're still looking at how they're performing in the framework of the game. And I think that's the majority of where they're doing their scouting and where the grades are coming from. But this is just a part of the process and an important part of the process as well, just to get little things, speed, agility, jumping, you know, those kind of things like that to put in the process. But overall, in the grand scheme of things, how they perform on the field and their character is still the majority of where the grade comes from.
I got two words for you, gentlemen. Good. Go ahead, JQ.
Sorry. Yeah, I agree with a piece of that, but I think it's more than 10% because of what we just talked about. Because the media guys for the schools will tell you anything. They'll tell you somebody 6'4 and is really 6'1. So the ability to measure them, I think, is big. And also, so we just talked about with the hand size, that you get a chance to do that as well and get your own hands on it, so to speak, and find out what's going on with it. But also the ability to conduct 40 interviews in one spot with all the prospects that you're trying to put on your board, I think, is also big, too. So I think having the NFL Combine also some for things outside the lines, like I said, with the meetings and also interviewing the prospects, because if you have character issues with them, yeah, you can talk to the coach or to the athletic trainer or whoever, and they may tell you something, and you're like, yeah, how much do I agree with this? But if you get a chance to sit down with this young kid and looking face-to-face for 15 minutes, I think that's what they're allowed, 15 minutes, you know, and go eye-to-eye with them and ask them questions. I mean, sometimes the questions get ridiculous, like ask him if his mom was a prostitute, that kind of foolishness. But you get a chance to actually, you know, grade them on what you think they're telling you face-to-face, and you think they're lying to you, or they're twitching, you know, do they just have a canned answer that you see it through? So I think you have to have that piece of it as well. So I think it's a little bit more than 10%, but I totally agree that you should get the vast majority of what you've seen in actual college film study that you've done and notes you've taken on that.
I got two words for you, gentlemen. Mike Mamula.
Yeah, workout warrior.
Biggest combine superstar and probably the biggest NFL draft bust. What was it, the same thing?
Absolutely. It can't be everything. And I totally agree. It can't outweigh what your eyes showed you when you watched them play in real game speed. But I think it still got a little bit more than that piece of it. But you can't let that overtake everything else. Same with Jamarcus Russell, you know, coming out there wilding with his physical attributes and going that high to the Braves and being one of the biggest busts in history. So, I mean, yeah, I still think it has to work, though.
You can't talk about Jamarcus Russell, JQ, or you can't talk about Joseph Randall for the ex-Cowboys.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you can't talk about LSU players, man, because Rob gets a little sensitive about stuff like that. So, you know,
sorry,
I'm just saying.
My bad. That dude Randall's crazy.
Yeah, that's a whole other conversation. But, no, just to kind of, like, piggyback on what you guys have both been saying, obviously, you know, we've got 10 minutes left in the show. You know, definitely you don't want to put all of your eggs in the combine. I do think it can get a little, you know, there's definitely purposes of some things, you know. Me and Rob differed as far as if certain, you know, if you know your position, you know, if you're a quarterback, you shouldn't throw. And I'm like, man, the competition, I would love to see somebody throw because I just think it's cool. But, you know, that's a whole other conversation. But as you said, it is good for at least these guys to get a chance to meet, know these players one-on-one after they've done all the film work, the study, because, you know, there's players that look faster on film, and as we talked about wearing pads in the 40, that look faster and slower in pads. I mean, it said that Jerry Rice didn't run the fastest 40 time, but for some reason he was always outrunning people, and that's just something you saw on the film. You know, if you put him in a 40, he didn't have the fastest 40 time, but you're like, man, this dude's running away from people all the time. So clearly it's something different as far as film speed and game speed, obviously. So, you know, it's kind of something to talk about that too. Anything else you guys want to talk about combine-wise? You want to jump into basketball? I'll let you guys kind of have any last moments as far as that.
And, you know, one last nugget, too. One of the things that general managers look for, too, with these players, how well did they perform against other NFL potential players as well? That's another big percentage of grading college players, too. How well are they performing against other potential NFL players as well? How do they match up on a line of scrimmage, or how do they match up on a perimeter? You know, how quarterbacks, you know, what kind of NFL throws are they making? And and that's the issue, you know, with Paxton Lynch. This kid right now is a third-rated QB in the draft. But the only knock on him is he didn't make a lot of NFL throws. But as far as arm strength and size, man, he's got just as much the potential as anybody in the draft. But you didn't see him make a lot of NFL throws. And so he's got a potential to possibly even move up with, you know, going to pro days and things of that nature as well. But, you know, that's one of the things they look for a lot, too. How well did these players match up when they went head-to-head against another player who's potentially an NFL player as well?
Good, JK.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point about Paxton Lynch, because I believe when they played Ole Miss, he had a horrible game. So when he was playing, you know, not SEC level, top level competition, he was setting the world on fire. But he played Ole Miss in the, and I believe Ole Miss just drug Memphis in that game as well. So that's a good point, Rob. Yeah, they wanted to see how you measure up the best against the best.
Good call, gentlemen. We're wrapping this bad boy up here. Another show here. Let's talk about, I guess we're going to jump into some college basketball here. And I just saw a note that the Braves have re-signed Jeff Francoeur. What? Okay, sorry. That just kind of popped on the screen. That was kind of interesting. Wow. Okay. Okay. That's just interesting. I got to see if that's really valid, guys. All right. Villanova, they remain number one, but, you know, they're going to run into a huge Big East test. Rob, you want to talk about this? And, JQ, you're coming up next, sir.
Well, I'm sure JQ probably knows a lot about this, too. They got a big test going at Xavier this Wednesday night right there in Cincinnati. And so that's going to be a big college basketball game. Xavier, of course, I believe is number 5 at the moment. So this is going to be a big test for Villanova coming up. The two best teams in the Big East. And Xavier has an opportunity here with the win against Villanova, and they can hold on down the stretch. Both of these teams out of the Big East could hold the number one seed in the NCAA tournament, possibly. I think Villanova is almost a sure end, but Xavier has an opportunity as well with the win here. Could possibly have two teams out of the Big East holding the number one line.
JQ, on you, my friend. This is all you.
Yeah, I'm just going to admit to it. That's one of the Cincinnati teams that I do not root for. I'm a UC basketball person, and I just strongly dislike the Xavier Musketeers. So I honestly I don't care. I guess if it's Cincinnati versus Xavier,
he's
I don't
on the Cali
for.
Schools, huh?
Yeah, I'm just a UC guy. So it'll be a Cincinnati. I'm going to root for them, but I think it's going to be hard to get them both in there because I think they're going to potentially meet again, probably. In the Big East tournament.
The East tournament.
So, Villanova, I think, is the closest to the lot. But if Xavier beats them twice, I can see that knocking Villanova down to the highest two seed, so to speak, and getting the weakest one seed in that region. If they split and Xavier wins all the other games, and if Xavier wins this game, but Villanova wins the Big East tournament, and it's a close game, I can see it happening. But I think you're going to have other teams have to kind of, have some bad stumbles down the stretch for both of them to get a one seed. It's hard to get two teams out of the same conference to get on the one line.
Yeah. I think Kansas and Oklahoma has a strong chance as well, possibly.
Yeah.
They're probably the only other conference that has a chance at doing it out of the Big 12. I think right now, if you look at one seeds, I would have to say Villanova, Kansas, Oklahoma, and North Carolina are the four number ones as of now. Obviously, we still have some basketball to go.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, we're on the same page. And America, we keep finding this stuff about JQ every show, man. So it's always a fun challenge, man. He didn't like
Xavier,
big
robbery,
man. We didn't see that one coming.
That's a big robbery.
Yeah, we keep finding out stuff about you every show, man. It's awesome. I've got about 4 weeks here to go, or 4 minutes, excuse me. All right. So could the nation's best mid-team major miss the tourney? Go ahead and talk about that.
Well, we're talking about Valparaiso here, 24-5. Obviously, they've already clinched their regular season title, but as you know, they have to win their conference title to assure a spot in the tourney. They're 24-5, and I would say if they don't win it, they could easily be a bubble team, even with that record. I would like to say that even if they don't win a tournament, I would like to see the tournament give them a bid. I mean, they're one of the better defensive teams in the country. They have good size on their roster, Alex Peters, and, of course, Vishal Fernandez. I mean, they have very good size on the team. They play great defensive, fifth-ranked defense in the country. And with that record, 24-5, they're a very physical basketball team, too. Mm-hmm. And so you would like to see them get into the tournament, these mid-majors. As you know, they're typically the best mid-major teams seem to always make it to at least the Sweet 16. So I would like to see them get in regardless if they win a tourney or not.
Good call. Anything else you want to talk about that, JQ?
And just real quick, I think at the very least they have to at least make it to the finals in their conference tournament, even if they don't win it. The thing to keep in mind that may keep them around too is that Louisville, with the imposing the sanction on themselves this year, has opened up another spot that normally wouldn't have been there. So with them being the best mid-major and the record they have, as you just pointed out, that may keep them in the tournament because that's another open spot of the 68.
Good call.
Yep, good
love
call,
it, gentlemen. Yep. So, gentlemen, time always flies when we're having fun. We are officially 2 minutes from the show. Rob, you're going to go ahead and wrap this up and get ready to set the stage for next week.
Next week, we'll be on Tuesday night, ladies and gentlemen, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. You don't want to miss us on next Tuesday night for our friends in Hawaii. Aloha. It's going to be 5 p.m. Just getting off work out there in Hawaii. So definitely tune in to the show. We'll be talking more football, more basketball, and maybe even some baseball, spring training out here right now. So you definitely want to tune in.
Yeah.
We'll have you covered on what's happening in the sports world. So definitely tune in on next Tuesday night. Good night, people.
Tune in next week to get JQ running a little point here. JQ, what do you got to say as we wrap this up as well, sir?
I just want to thank everybody for tuning in and downloading the podcast. And real fast, Jose Bautista, you're crazy. The Blue Jays have made the playoffs. You go ahead and not get them a hometown discount and go somewhere and get paid and not make the playoffs and tell me how that feels like, bro. You're playing in a launcher pad in Toronto. I think you want to stay in Toronto and play for the Blue Jays.
Sorry, Jose Bautista said, I gave him hometown discount for 5 years already.
Yeah,
We got to get that cut somehow, JQ. I can't
oh, I got you.
This guy, I'm Ricky.
I got you. I got you. I got
you. Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, man.
Anything else as we get ready to wrap up, JQ?
these dudes are just crazy. Like, don't you want to win? Like, I want to win. I mean, you can't play for a dollar, but, I mean, I want to win. So, I mean, come on. You got that murder lineup with him and Josh Donaldson and Hanley. But I don't understand why you would want to walk away from that, but that's just my two cents. You know I like baseball. I just –